Good morning. It is Friday, October the 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good Friday. And we're going to consecrate ourselves to the Lord so that we won't miss a single thing. Are you ready? Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you, and we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, our entry today is entitled, During the Last Watch of the Night, on Staying Awake in the Last Days. Our text is Exodus chapter 14, verses 23 to 25. Hear now the word of the Lord. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." The word of the Lord. Now consider this. As you might imagine, I get a fair amount of reader mail. Most of it is encouragement, for which I'm grateful. Sometimes a reader takes issue with something I have written, which I appreciate and try to respond to. Often I get questions like this one. Why did the Egyptian army enter the water trap when its occurrence obviously defied all laws of physics? Here's my initial response. Bloodlust, greed, and the maintenance of their own kingdom and way of life. The slaves were their Dow Jones industrial average. It's a good question. In the best of times, people make irrational decisions. In the midst of unrelenting chaos, people make horribly irrational decisions. The Israelites walked into the sea pursuing the kingdom of God. Pharaoh and his armies charged into the sea, chasing the kingdom of Egypt. They pursued the protection of their way of life. Life really comes down to such a simple choice. Sometimes it takes a plague or 10 to bring it to such clarity. The rest of the time, it can be so many shiny things whirring around our heads and filling up our phones. For so many, it's coffee in the morning and wine at night and a long day's labor between to get to the next income bracket with better schools, nicer vacations, and richer retirement accounts. We live from deer season to turkey season, from the Super Bowl to the World Series, from Augusta National to the Final Four. And to be clear, none of these things are bad at all. They're good. Yet they can keep us in such a state of constant distraction and preoccupation, we miss the real point and purpose of our one life. Coffee and wine, lunch and supper, Saturday and Sunday, and where on earth is God in all of that? Thoreau put it this way, most people lead lives of quiet desperation, and they go to the grave with the song still in them. Blaise Pascal said it thus, we run heedlessly into the abyss after putting something in front of us to stop us from seeing it. Most don't realize it until they are miles into the Red Sea, chasing after a mirage, surrounded by water walls, threatening to become waterfalls. Jesus said it so decisively and clearly. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, Matthew 6:33. For so many church-going, or at least church-saluting Christians, it can be more like, seek all these things, ask for God's help to get them, and consider yourself blessed by God when they come. And the kingdom of God and his righteousness will be added unto you. Did you hear how backwards that was? It is the peak of deception. God and the things of God occupy such a small compartment in far too many lives. Church fills such a stale, stifling, and predictable category. When will we finally wake up? The thing we must come to crave in these days of chaos is the gift of clarity. This is a moment for deep soul clarity. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. As it comes to world history, and particularly the story of God, we are in the last watch of the night. This text comes to mind. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. That's Hebrews 1:1. Everything noted in the Apostles' Creed has happened, save this one thing. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I am not one given to stirring apocalyptic anxiety, and clearly no one knows the times or dates. Should you meet up with someone claiming they do, my advice is to run. All this said, we are living in the last days, even the last watch of the night. How long these last days will last is unknowable. Concerning such things, Jesus put it this way: but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. That's Matthew 24. It's why every single day we say the words to each other, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." It won't mean giving up everything you enjoy, not for a minute. It will mean something infinitely greater to live for. that is awakening, and it's never too late. Jesus, not stale religion, not a caricature of church, not self-righteous, pompous religion, just Jesus. He's better than the best. And one more pro tip for the fields today. Just prior to Jesus' words giving us the Noah's Ark reminder, he said this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Matthew 24:35. Let's pray prayers for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. Exodus, you keep decreeing it. I keep declaring it over my heart, my home, my church, my city, over my friends, over those struggling with sickness, over those suffering the grief of loss. Exodus, even over those who consider me their enemy. And I'm beginning to lift up the staff of the cross and stretch out my hand over people and situations around me. At least I'm beginning to visualize myself doing such a thing in my mind's eye. At the same time, I find myself busy all the time and often with distraction and mindless activity. I receive your deliverance from distraction and the subtle deception to which it leads. I receive your deliverance into the gentle attentiveness inspired by the Holy Spirit in me. I receive the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, and also the unhurried pace at which you breathe. I want to live my life at the pace of Jesus in me, in step with the Holy Spirit. Awake, but not anxious. Alert, without preoccupation. We are not afraid, nor are we anxious. We are joyful in hope as we walk each other home. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Well, for the journal prompt today, I just want to say, you know, if I've offended you today, maybe I have, will you forgive me? And then now, will you ask yourself, why was I offended? How about that? No, I'm not. I don't know why I felt that way, but you know my heart towards you is awakening. And sometimes I think you have to say challenging things. I want to say them in ways that are full of love. You know, sometimes you run across preachers and they're just really big on speaking the truth. And other times you run across preachers and they're just really big on speaking love. And the thing I aim for, and I know you do too, is actually speaking the truth in love. That's the call of Scripture, isn't it? And to love the truth. And yeah, that's what we want to be about. We are living in confusing times. We are definitely living in the last days, and we don't know how long they'll be. When Jesus was raised from the dead, that was the beginning of the end. It was the beginning of the end. That resurrection signaled that the glorious age to come had dawned. And we await his return now. at which time we will have the judgment, the resurrection of the dead. We will be joined all together in the communion of saints, and we shall stand with them on the great shores of unceasing praise and enjoy the life everlasting. We're going to sing here today. We're going to sing "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." It's a short hymn, four verses, number 304. Sometimes I think that's really, well, I mean, all the time, but we just need to get in touch with the breath of God. And I like to even practice that in my own breathing. I just love that occasion where Jesus there at the, after his resurrection, he's with his disciples and he says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then it says he breathed on them. Just makes me want to breathe in. Just hear Jesus saying over you and over me today, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he breathes on us. Just, it harkens us all the way back to the Genesis chapter 2 text where God created a human being, and it says, and he breathed into him the breath of life. Just something about breathing. That's the source of life. So take a deep breath this morning. Don't be discouraged. Don't be anxious. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just begin to get in touch with the presence of God even through your breathing. You breathe in mercy. You breathe out grace. Let's sing together. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. Amen. Well, it's Friday, so we're going to send you out into the fields to sow for awakening. Lead with encouragement. We just never know what people are going through. Sometimes we have to get through some of the hard things that people are dealing with that make it seem like they're not really open or they're not really present or attentive or maybe they seem angry. The truth is they're probably sad. And we just have to bear with them. Anyway, be ready for all kinds of opportunities today to plant the seeds of the love of God, of the truth of God, of the Word of God. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.